Perhaps the most impressive aspect of this famous account of Christ's birth is how routinely it records the most amazing events. The chapter's opening verse sets for us the historical context. And those who read, as we do here, of Caesar Augustus and his imperial decree may expect to hear directly afterward of the exploits of the imperial legions and the imperial administrators in carrying out the emperor's wishes. But instead, in just a sentence or two, the narrative shifts the scene away from the imperial palace in Rome to two small places, Nazareth in Galilee and Bethlehem in Judea. The account is curiously understated. It lacks any kind of dramatic flourish that such accounts of similar events have in other literary forms. We learn only the basic facts. If we knew nothing else of the background of the story, if this passage was all that we had, we would find out about Mary and Joseph, these two people, and the circumstances that led Mary to give birth in one of Bethlehem's stables instead of in the inn. In the section of the chapter where we find our text this evening, that aura of understated routine continues, at least temporarily. For the scene shifts again from the stable in Bethlehem to the outside of the town, to that little hillside, to the hillsides above the town, where for generations Judean shepherds had tended their flocks. It was an unusual time of the year, in that the text tells us that the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Most of the year they would have no reason to do so. But at the lambing time, at the time when the ewes would give birth to their little lambs, at that time of the year the shepherds, whose livelihood depended so much on the safe delivery of the new lambs, they were in the field to help. There were no veterinarians, so there was no one to call. The shepherds had to provide the ewes whatever assistance would be needed to bring the lambs into the world. Now, events of this kind had transpired many, many times. Without fail, every year, these things had happened. And the shepherds of whom we read in our text had experienced similar nights on previous occasions in prior years. But there, the routine came to an unexpected end. For suddenly, in the darkness, the sky glowed with light, and an angel from God appeared to them. We don't know what the experience was visually, whether suddenly the angel was there or whether the angel seemed to come from a distance to them. But the angel appeared. And these men sensed that every aspect of the routine that they had come to anticipate was being upended. And they stood there, we may be sure, almost breathless and trembling in fear. What was going to happen to them? You can imagine. They had been there so many times in previous years. They had been there so many nights during this time of the year. Now, suddenly, it was all different. Why were they in the light of the angel on that hillside? What could it mean? Some may have thought that that light should have been shining somewhere in the town or somewhere in Jerusalem, in the home of someone more influential than they were. But actually, the Lord was pleased to reveal this amazing news to those who were not among the elite. They were simply the shepherds. They were the common people. They were the backbone, really, of the Judean economy. The American composer, Aaron Copland, gained a reputation for writing music that evoked the experience of Americans who worked hard at their occupations and tried to earn an honest living. One of his most evocative pieces is less than 4 minutes in length, and its title is exactly what I want to use for this message this evening, for it emphasizes so well the nature of this text. Let us hear this evening Fanfare for the Common Man. The second major section of George Frederick Handel's oratorio, Messiah, follows what is called the Pastoral Symphony. It's in some ways a misnomer in the sense that it has some symphonic elements to it, but it's not very long. It's an interlude, if you will, between the great chorus of which we thought last Lord's Day, "For unto us a child is born," and the brief passages that are taken from these verses in Luke 2. In the oratorio, they're called recitatives. That is, they are simply brief musical passages where the text is sung very simply and very directly. Before the great chorus that introduces the angelic throng. This evening, we're taking up two of the texts that form in the list of selections in the oratorio, Numbers 14 and 15. So, this evening, we're beginning to diverge for the first time from following the strict numerical arrangement that we have observed up till now. This is the 13th message in this series. Last week we considered the 12th text in the series. So now we're going ahead to the 14th and 15th texts because they go together. It seems more natural to deal with verses 8 and 9 together and then with the next number, that will be the next message in the series, that deals with verses 10 and 11. The experience of the shepherds who were in the same area where Jesus was born was intended to expound for our consideration and for the consideration of all to whom they spoke the unfolding of the message of the gospel. We read there at the end of the passage in verse 20, that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. In verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here was the message of the gospel, and from receiving that message themselves, they became spokesmen for that message, and the implication is everyone that they encountered, they told what they had heard and seen. Now, there are two main ideas for us to consider in our text, and with each of those ideas, there are some other ideas that come underneath them. So let's come to the first of these ideas, which takes up mainly the 8th verse of the chapter, the gospel's pervasive reach. The imagery of the text is striking indeed. For at the same time that the events were unfolding in the town, of which we read in the first verses of the chapter, particularly that statement, while they were there. I always am struck by that. While they were there. I don't share the view that Mary gave birth the first night that they were in Bethlehem. I think it may have been some time after they arrived there, some days after they arrived there. But it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so we read that she brought forth her firstborn son. They were in the stable. It was the only place they could go where there was any kind of privacy at such a time. So at the very time when those events were unfolding down in the town, other events, far less unusual events, were unfolding outside the town, on the hillsides. It was night. Sheep were giving birth to lambs, with all of the noise that you may imagine could have been heard in those cases. At various places on those hillsides, campfires imparted a subdued glow to the night air. The emphasis of the text is on the truth that the gospel is a message that is delivered to those who are wrapped in the routine of daily occupation. Here were the shepherds. There were shepherds abiding in the field. These were men who had not learned their trade in any institution of higher learning. There was no trade school in which young men could enroll to learn how to be shepherds. If they had learned to be shepherds, it was because they were continuing the occupation of someone in their family who had learned the occupation from someone before him in a line that stretched back for generations. Here were working men. And their task was far from easy. It was not what you would call an occupation that had the capacity for advancement. That is, a shepherd was not looking for a promotion to being first shepherd or being super shepherd. If you were a shepherd, you were a shepherd. That was your life. That was going to be your life. Until you could no longer work. So these men were certainly not concerned with any kind of economic justice. And those ideas, even if they had been concerned with them, would have been squelched very quickly in any area governed by the Roman emperor. The shepherds were at work. And implied in this statement is that the gospel message reaches people in the unlikeliest of settings. Would we have thought that such a message would be announced there? In the midst of what was going on those hillsides? Being a shepherd was not always a pleasant occupation. And if you were helping ewes giving birth to lambs, it was even less pleasant. The shepherds were not among the privileged of society. They were not among the wealthy. But it could be said of them and should be said of them that they did not draw back from the labor that was required for the occupation. They were not afraid of hard work. So they were working people. But it was also the case that they were waiting people. They were a people in waiting. Now, they were waiting for something that they knew they were waiting for. They were waiting for the births of these little lambs. They were looking for the extension of the flock. Sheep were raised, and some of the sheep were raised to be sold for various purposes, sometimes sacrifices, sometimes food. But the extension of the flock depended on the births of the lambs. So they knew they were waiting in that sense. But there was another kind of waiting going on in that time. And we find that waiting expounded concerning John the Baptist some years later. If you turn over just a page to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 15. We find these words, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, let's think about that statement in verse 15, that all men mused about John. That is, they heard John speaking. They heard that voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." They heard him speaking, and they began to say within themselves and then to others as they had occasion, "Is this the Christ? Is this man Messiah? He speaks differently than the rabbis speak. He has the authority that the priests lack. Is this Messiah?" Now, why did they muse that about him? Why did they say that about him? They said it because there was at that time a sense among the people that the coming of Messiah was at hand. People had been waiting in expectancy for Messiah. And the evidence is that when Christ was born at that time, many Jewish people were convinced that the time for Messiah's appearance was at hand. And I submit to you that is why Herod the Great was so upset when these wise men from the east showed up in his court saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We're come to worship him. We've come to worship him." What was it that Herod said to the scribes? "Where is Christ going to be born?" And what did they say to him? They didn't hesitate at all. "In Bethlehem of Judea." That's what the prophet has said. "In Bethlehem of Judea." So at that time, there was the sense that the time for Messiah to appear had come. And that could have been the reason that so many Jewish boys of that period carried some variation of the name Joshua or Jesus. Because many Jewish parents hoped that their son, and it shows how little they understood all the prophecies, but they hoped that their son would be the deliverer of the people. The shepherds then were out on those hillsides in a place that not many others considered as being of any importance. But they were there waiting And they were in the exact place where they would hear the message that many people had waited their whole lives to hear. These were people who had been raised on the Hebrew Bible. They had been trained in the synagogues. These were not ignoramuses. They knew something of the promises of Scripture. And they were waiting. And that brings us to the other main idea in the text, which we find in verse 9. The gospel's impressive awe. As they were waiting there, we read in verse 9, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." There's a sense of the suddenness with which it happened. There were the shepherds out there keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, suddenly, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Here was a messenger from heaven that was come to them. The angel of the Lord. That expression, of course, is an Old Testament expression. The angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant. Suddenly the angel appeared. Now, we don't have any information in the text as to how long it was before they realized the kind of being that was standing before them. And as I said, we don't know if the angel appeared very suddenly, that is, almost as if not being there and then being there, or whether it would appear that, in contrast to the verse that describes the angels in verse 15 going away from them into heaven, whether it was that a light began to glow in the sky and appeared to be coming closer and closer and closer to them until there the angel was. We don't know how it was, but suddenly, there they were. In the presence of this messenger that quickly they realized had come from God. And we read in the text that there was a light from heaven as well. The glory of the Lord was shining around them. I don't think it's possible for us to appreciate the impact of this scene, to sense it in our minds. But remember what I said, that there would have been some campfires scattered here and there, giving a little bit of glow to the night air. Now, suddenly, the glory of the Lord is shining around them. Something that would even be brighter, if you will, than the sun. Where we used to live, periodically, sometimes it seemed like every night, the helicopters from the law enforcement authorities would make trips over our neighborhood looking for people who needed to be spending the night elsewhere than at home. And they had these big beacons that they would focus down on the ground. It must have been a powerful light to reach from the height they were flying at and to illuminate the ground. And when that light hit the ground, it lit up everything. But I say even that was no comparison to the light that the shepherds encountered on this occasion. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were in the full light of God's presence. And it just occurs to me, as we go through and consider that reality, that here was in physical reality the truth that we ought to experience every time we come into the house of God, where the glory of the God of heaven shines round about us. Not in terms of that light, that physical light that illuminated those hillsides, but the reality that God is here, that God's glory is here. They were in God's presence. And we read at the end of verse 9 that there was a wonder from heaven as well. For the text tells us that they were sore afraid. It's easy to read that. But here is what is called a Hebraism. That is, it's a translation into Greek of a structure with which Hebrew writers were very familiar, that they used to emphasize things. For example, in Daniel at one point, Daniel is depicted as kneeling upon his knees. Well, on what else would he kneel but his knees? But it was put that way to emphasize the fact of his posture. Well, here in this text, we find literally, they feared a great fear. The Authorized Version translators reflected that idea in the English very well. They were sore afraid. They feared a great fear. That is, it was a fear that was more than that which seizes people momentarily. You know what it is to be startled. You know what it is when you're engaged in doing something and you're not aware that anyone else is nearby and suddenly someone is there. You know what that is to be startled. Your body reacts to that. There's an intake of breath and so on. Well, that was not this fear. We know what that is, and quickly it passes. But here was the fear that makes a person wonder if the end of life is at hand. They were sore afraid. Why? Because they knew that no one could stand in the presence of God and live. There was terror, to be sure. There was awe and trembling. There were men who in an instant had everything upended. All the routine on which they had depended their whole lives. When they had gone out that night to spend the night in watching over their flocks, an event like this was the farthest thing from their minds. There was that awareness that something unlike anything they had ever known had overtaken them. There they were, just common men. But they were going to receive the most glorious news that any person had ever heard or would ever hear. It was as though there was a wonderful introduction, a fanfare, if you will, for those shepherds, those common men, those working men. A fanfare before the words that would follow, to which we will come in due course, that would tell them that Messiah has come. That Christ has come. And that He had come to save His people from their sins. For that was the message of the angel to the shepherd. And to him, the shepherds and everyone else he came to redeem were like sheep. We read of that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It strikes me that it was indeed fitting that the news of Messiah's birth should be announced to shepherds, because Christ himself would proclaim, I am the good shepherd. So there was a wonderful association there in that announcement to those men with the glorious task that Messiah had come to do. He had come to do for his people what they went on the hillsides to do for their sheep, to care for them, to tend to them, to lead them, and to feed them. Here then was this wonderful situation on the hillside, this introduction to the announcement that Christ had been born. It was given to the shepherd.